Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. We have the Christmas story in Philippians chapter 2. Say, no. The Christmas story, you must be mistaken, is in Matthew and Luke. Remember, Charlie Brown Christmas, he reads Luke chapter 2. That is the Christmas story. Well, we find it also in Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Look at this. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Birth of Christ right there. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Bible says that Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven, humbled himself, and came and served men. Provided the perfect and wonderful, complete gift of salvation. Dying some 33 years later. But the Bible says that he humbled himself. If there was ever an exaggeration or maybe downplaying of what he did, here it is. He left the glories of heaven, and the Bible says, and he humbled himself. He humbled himself. My trouble with this passage, no trouble, but my difficulty with this passage is verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So it's not just telling me the Christmas story. It's not just telling me about how Christ left the glories of heaven, came to this earth, died for mankind, served mankind, humbled himself. But I wish verse 5 wasn't there. I wish it was just, here's what Jesus did. But now it's on my plate. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind is that? The mind of humility. A character trait that, as I said in our bulletin this morning, is often neglected. I don't want to work on humility. I'll work on grace and I'll work on love, but humility, I'd have to give up too much to be humble. I don't want it. Or maybe you're sitting here this morning saying, yeah, I know I need that, but I just don't even know how to start. Turn over to Exodus chapter 10. We'll read Exodus chapter 10 and then we'll pray and then we'll see what the Scripture says for us this morning. Exodus chapter 10. And verse 3. Thankful for a church building. Otherwise, we'd have to be outside. And December outside services are not highly favorable. Exodus chapter 10 and verse 3. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews. Look at what he says. How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? And I wonder if we have to ask ourselves the same question this morning. The problem is not with God or not with God's ways. The problem with humility is my failure. That I choose to refuse to humble myself. As we're going to read through this passage, all these passages this morning, I ask that you do this. We think of the example of Christ, and we ask this question, have I refused to humble myself before an almighty God? Maybe you're here, as I said, and I want to humble myself, I just don't even know where to begin. I struggle with it. I know it's right, but I just can't. Maybe as we look through the Scriptures this morning, you'll get some help in that. You'll see some benefits of it and the importance of it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the songs that we could sing to you. Lord, I love this time of year. I love that the world is singing and announcing your birth. God, I pray that we would take that to heart. God, as we open up your word this morning, I pray that it minister to our hearts. And God, more than any word that I can say, I pray that your word would penetrate the very depths of our being. And that we would walk out of this building changed for you. Lord, we love you and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Humility is a struggle. Anybody struggle with humility? Not me. Well, there it is, right there. I mean, if you said no, the altars are open. I mean, if at any time. We say that jokingly, but honestly, if the Lord touches your heart about something, you need to come and pray. I'll praise the Lord for that. Yeah, real quick on that note, yesterday in Luke chapter 15 and verse 10, we were talking about this in our morning prayer devotion time here before we went out. And it says that in heaven, the angels rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. And we read that and go, man, when someone trusts Christ for the very first time, heaven just comes unloose. But it didn't say that just for the first time. It says when sinners repent. Understand that the story that they're being told is that lost coin that she once had and then lost it and found it again. So when someone not only comes to Christ for the first time, but maybe comes back to Christ having wandered, hey, it comes undone again in heaven. You think, oh, I don't want to disrupt the service. Hey, if there's something in your heart that you need to repent of, come on down here and disrupt heaven. Okay, that was a side note. All right. Humility. The struggle of humility. Why? Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Lord, I want to be humble. I just don't want to be humble. Because I know what it's going to take. It's going to take thinking of everybody else over me. And I have needs. In Exodus chapter 10 and verse 3 is the first time we see the word humble. And what happens? There's a refusal to humble themselves. I wonder if in our heart we're so proud that we're refusing to humble ourselves. Say, I could use some help. Does the scripture say anything about humility? Yes. Here, let's, number one, look at Lamentations chapter 3. As I told you this morning, we have a lot of verses to look at. Some we'll look at, some we'll just read. So, probably should have read Lamentations instead of had you turn there. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's on page 836. All Scofield Bibles have the same page. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. The first step to humility is, number one, remembering what it is that God has done for us. If we get too far away from recognizing or remembering that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that he shed mercy and grace for us. Because what is needed for salvation is humility. And if we get too far away from that, well, there goes our humble heart. The first step of humility will be to, number one, remember our salvation. Yesterday, as it was said, we took some of our teenagers over to the Rochester Public Market. And man, that was a blast. We got pretty much kicked out of all the buildings. But they allowed us to stand on the outside. So we had to improvise, adapt, and overcome, Brother Sutliff. And there we were. My group was on the outside. I found a little overhang. Now, I felt bad because there were some of the teenage girls standing in the rain. They looked, you know, and there they were. But I got the door section. And so I'd open up the door and wish the person a Merry Christmas and try and give them, because they're walking through with bags of, you know, 30-pound fish and donuts. You know, it's the public market, you know. And so there they are walking through. So I'm opening up the door. Oh, thank you. Can I give you a gospel tract? And got into a couple short conversations. First guy that I got to talk to takes a tract. He's like, what is this? I said, it's a gospel tract. Tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I know about Jesus, but I'm Muslim. I said, oh, that's great. I said, you think he's a prophet? He goes, well, there was the prophet Muhammad and then the prophet Jesus. I said, I think you need to read that. And he goes, I'm going to read that. I said, great. So in hand right now is a Muslim with a little red book gospel tract. Praise the Lord. You could have packed me up right then and went home. That was like our third, where's Joe? That was like our third guy, right? Man, I was excited about that. Why? Because I remembered about my salvation. That got me excited telling somebody else about my salvation. And it just like was a catalyst. It was like, let me get these into everybody's hands. How important it is to keep humble in the eyes of God is to remember where it is that He found you. Because we get so far away from when we trusted Christ, we forgot our story and then look down on those that are in the exact same place. And such were some of you, he says. So I'd like to be humble. I'd like humility, but I struggle. How do I even get there? Well, the first step to humility is to remember. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. How many of you, when you start thinking about what it is that God saved you from and what He gave you, you say, I don't deserve that. Our heart automatic response should be humility. Number two, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Don't turn there. We're familiar with the verse. If my people, which are called by my name, what are the next three words? Shall humble themselves. Shall humble themselves and pray. I want humility. How do I do it? Humble yourself and pray. I'm telling you, someone that really struggles with humility is going to struggle in their prayer life. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The next step to humility is prayer. How much time do you spend praying for others? How much time do you spend in prayer exalting and worshiping the God of heaven? Well, none than your God. You make yourself God when those things don't happen. You make yourself the most important thing, that the world revolves around you. But when we take the focus off ourselves and place it on God and place it on others, all of a sudden we become second or third or fourth or wherever it is. Takes the focus off ourselves when we're praying to the God of heaven. When we're praying for others. And it broke our hearts this morning. We were praying before service and praying, maybe 8:30 here, praying right in these front seats. And we're, how about it, Brother Rice? We're praying for those that are praying for a little Autumn, praying for Jim Ritchie, praying for Sarah True, praying for these that are going through some heavy things of cancer, Grandpa Huber. That is a quick way of humbling your heart. All of a sudden, the ache I have in my back isn't so bad. As a 7-year-old can't come out of her room over at Golisano Cancer Center this morning. My headache isn't so bad. My aches and pain, all of a sudden I become humbled. Why? Because I took the focus off myself. Through prayer. Say, Pastor, I sure would love a humble heart. All right, number one, let's remember where it is that God found us. Number two, let's pray to the Lord about others. Number three, Psalm 35. Turn there, please. Psalm 35. And verse 13. Psalm 35 and verse 13. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting. Why is humility so hard? Because the flesh hates it. The flesh hates lowering ourselves and exalting anything higher than us. Say, I don't do that. Have you ever maybe take a picture of a group. You're in the group. As the picture is passed or you're looking at it on the phone, who's the first person you look for? Me. How do I look? There might be 50 other people. You're just scanning for yourself. Was I smiling? Were my eyes closed? Did I have a funny face? What was going on? What about me? And therein lies us. And our flesh and our spirit fight constantly over this. Day after day after day. And the Bible says, well, I humbled my soul with fasting. And my prayer returned unto my own bosom. He says, hey, there was a change in my heart. I was able to humble myself. How did that happen? With fasting. How does skipping a meal or not eating for a day or two or three, how does that bring humility to me? Because the problem with humility, or the fight or the struggle with humility, is not our mindset. It is the flesh and spirit. So if we can weaken the flesh a bit, well, all of a sudden humility becomes a byproduct. You know, a cordial greeting. I see Jacob and I say, good morning, Jacob. How are you today? And what do you say?
Good.
Good. Now, that might be a lie. Right? I mean, it's just an automatic response. He's not going to be like, oh, Pastor, so you would not believe. Benjamin broke my this, and Aaron was crying all morning, and I couldn't even, and then Nathaniel, oh man, Nathaniel, I don't even know where to go. I'm not going to even get into my parents because we're in a mixed group, but what does he say? He just says, good. And we go around and we just keep telling everybody that we're good, and we begin to think that way. I'm good, I'm functioning. Now, as your pastor, of course, I would want to know your struggles, but I'm not saying that, hey, line up and just tell me all your things. I'm not saying that. I'm saying this, that we need to take a step back and evaluate, are we really good? And one measure of that is, how's our humility? That's a good indicator of how other things are. If our humility is where it ought to be, or at least heading in that direction, guaranteed our prayer life is doing all right. Now, are there areas for improvement? Yes. But at least we have an acknowledgement that we were once lost and now saved, and I don't deserve any of it. That somewhere in there, there's maybe a fasting or a separation of the actions of the flesh, that as 2 Chronicles chapter 33 says, and when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the Lord of his fathers. That there's at least a desire to seek God. How do we become humble? Number one, remember. Number two, pray. Number three, fast. Number four, seek the Lord. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Seek after him. 2 Kings chapter 22. Turn there, please. Whew, perfect turn. Sorry. 2 Kings 22 and verse 19. All throughout your Old Testament, we were talking about this in our young adults class this morning. All throughout your Old Testament are these little, windows into the character of God. What he likes and what he doesn't like. And what gets his attention, what doesn't. What turns his anger towards man and what softens his heart towards man. And the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 19, because thine heart was tender and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord. Say, God, how do I humble myself? By having a tender heart. What does that mean? That means sensitive to his leading. Tender. Tender. If you went to, what's a good steakhouse in town? Anybody have a good one that they like? Longhorn? Is Longhorn good? All right, that's good. There's a place on Main Street, Morton's. Anybody ever go to Morton's? Ooh, high end over there. All right. There you are. And the waitress comes over and says, all right. and you say, I would like the ribeye, please. Ribeye's good, right? And they say, how do you like it? Say, I want it like shoe leather. I want it so tough. I want a special knife. I want a chainsaw to have to cut this thing. That's how I want it. No one says that. Say, how do you like your steak? I like it tender. Why? Because things can penetrate it. I'll be able to stick my fork in. I want my butter knife to be able to cut my steak. Just lay the weight of the knife on it and just... whoosh. So does that happen? The good ones, it does. God, how do you want my heart? I want it as hard and as cold and as bitter as possible. No one does he want like that. He says, I want your heart tender. Why? Because it'll keep you humble. Ever have the Lord touch your heart about something? Go, no, that can't be right. Only come to find out that, oh, it was right. It was the leading of God in your life. How to stay humble? How do I get to humility? How do I get there? By keeping a tender heart with God. That our heart would be closely knit to His Word and His leading. That when He says, we do. 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 6 says this, whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves and they said, the Lord is righteous. Again, taking away the recognition and attention from ourselves and putting it on God. The steps to humility. Number one, remember. Number two, pray. Number three, fast. Number four, seek the Lord. Number five, keep a tender heart. And number six, recognize the righteousness of the Lord. Say, what does that do for me? What's the benefit of that? Why would I do that? Well, James 4, 6 says this, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Remember, Dr. Gibbs said it so well, and he preached a whole message about it. I could never do such a thing how he does, but he said, there's one thing you do not want. You don't want God to be resisting you. No, you want to be on the other side of that. He giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the who? Unto the humble. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for thee. Say, why do I not feel the grace of God in my life or in experiencing it? Maybe it's because we're just not humble enough. Maybe we're struggling with our pride because God says, I'm going to resist that. As a kid, we used to like to play with magnets. Anybody like magnets? I love magnets. I think they're cool. And you take two north poles and you put them together. And if you have strong magnets, it's tough. You're doing things like that, right? They resist each other. God says, that'll happen when you have pride in your heart. But he says, you take you add humility and wham, stuck. I'm there. I'm with you. What's the blessing of having humility? The grace of God is the blessing of humility. In Isaiah 57:15, it says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Number one, his grace will be with you. Number two, he himself will be with you, he says. I will dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a humble spirit. God will be right there. We acknowledge this morning that, yes, I need Jesus. Are you staying humble? Psalm 113 this morning. Psalm 113. The blessings of humility. Number one, the grace of God. Number two, he will be with you. Number three, Psalm 119. Nope, 113. Sorry. Psalm 113 and verse 6. Who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. Proud people don't have spiritual minds. They can't. They're consumed with themselves, the flesh. What do I want? What do I need? What's going on in my life? But whoso humbleth himself will be able to see things afar off. We'll be able to see heaven. So yeah, is that like special glasses you can actually see up into heaven? No, but just having a spiritual mind towards things. A spiritual mind towards things. Our fourth blessing of humility. 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 12. Listen here. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him. Say, I would like that verse to be my verse. I would like the wrath of God to turn from me. How does that go about? By our humility. There's a blessing associated with humility. I hope you see the value of that in your own life. It's important. It's important. Matthew chapter 18. And we're on our third and final point tonight, this morning. Number one, we saw the steps of humility. Number two, we see the blessings of humility. And number three, we see the importance of humility. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is great in the kingdom of heaven? Good question, right? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore, look at what it says, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is great. The same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In our spiritual life, there is an importance of humility. The Bible says that the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God, are those that are humble. Not because they've built an empire, but because they were humble, it says. He brings a little child over. Man, I'd love the scene. They said, who's the greatest? He says, all right, here, come here. Come here, little kid. Come here. Come here, Levi. Come here, I don't know, Rebecca, right? I'm trying to think of little Jewish names. Come here. Looking at Jesus. Touches them sweetly on their heads. Turns them around. And gives this illustration, right? Whoso therefore shall humble himself as this little child. Do you think God wants humility in our life? Do you think he wants us to have a humble approach to life? Or does he say, oh man, look at that one. He is proud. Oh, I love it. No. No. Actually, we are the enemies of God in our pride. In Luke chapter 18, turn there. In verse 9. And he spake this parable unto... In Luke 18, 9, it says, and he spake this parable unto certain that which trusted in themselves. Do you see that? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Nothing of which we were talking about this morning. The complete opposite of humility. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. So Jesus knows his crowd. Here are all these pious, self-righteous Pharisees sitting there. Or certain, he says, unto certain which trust in themselves. So here, in the midst, the crowd is who? Proud, self-righteous people. He says, hey, let me tell you a story. Story time with Jesus. He says, you know, there are these two guys, and they go up into the temple. The one, a Pharisee. And the other, a publican. Maybe those in the crowd stood up and thought, oh, he's going to tell us a good story about us. We got the righteous and we got the sinner. We got good against bad, right? And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as this publican. Fast twice in the week, I give tithe of all that I possess. What does he do? His prayer is quite interesting. He prays to God and says, God, thank you for making me so great. Nowhere do I see Jesus laying forth prayer formats like that. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. In Luke 14:11 it says, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Here it says the same thing. So where are you at this? Remember Exodus chapter 10 and verse 3? Pharaoh refused to humble himself. Where are you at this morning? Just who I am, I'm just a proud individual. God is not content with that answer. A change is necessary. See, the paradox in Christianity is this. It makes humility the avenue to glory. Say, what do you mean paradox? It just doesn't make sense. He says, the person that humbles himself will be exalted. Proverbs 15:33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Long before God ever honors anybody, there needs to be humility. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Humility is important in our life. If we're to serve the Lord, we need a humble heart. Last verse. Well, almost last verse. Exodus chapter 20. Why are you snickering? Because you know it could be another 10 minutes. But that's okay. Look at this. It's not even 12:15. We're doing great. Acts chapter 20 and verse 19. Look at what a wonderful verse. Acts 20, 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Acts 20. It is Acts chapter 20 and verse 19. I'll give you a moment to find it. The New Testament Exodus. All right? Acts chapter 20 and verse 19. Sorry. Told you I had a lot of verses this morning. Acts chapter 20 and verse 19. Are y'all there? All right. First word is? Serving. I feel like some are still flipping. First word, serving. All right, here we go. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Say, God, how do you want me? Why is it so important? Because God says, if you want to serve me and you want to serve others, here's what you must have. It's not optional. It's not if it works out in your best interest, if this is a character trait. He says, if you want to serve me, you need humility. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. How about this? Do we serve the Lord with all humility? Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And verse 7. Ephesians 3:7 says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, look at what he says about himself, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, which I should preach among the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Look, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. What does Paul say? He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He says, I was the least of all saints. But through that humility, God had used Paul to take the gospel to not just a person, but all the Gentiles. God uses humility. You read Paul's stories, and he doesn't get too far in talking before he starts talking about where the Lord found him. He remembers where the Lord found him, our first step of humility. Let's remember this morning. Let's see this morning how important humility is in our own life. Spiritually speaking, men were justified by their humility. Ministerially speaking, it is the only way to serve with a humble mind. Our very first verses, Philippians chapter 2. Go there, please. Let's move back up to verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Philippians 2:3. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Humility. Humbleness. Esteeming others better than ourselves. Exalting the Lord where He ought to be exalted. See, I struggle with that. Everybody struggles with that. But we can't be content with just saying, well, that's just not what I do. I just struggle with that. No, get in the fight against that. Realize the struggle, but don't be content with just being defeated. Remember, the first step is to remember where it is that the Lord found you. Number 2, pray. Number 3, involve fasting. Number 4, seek the Lord. Keep a tender heart. Recognize that God is righteous. Take the attention away from yourself and put it on the Lord. All too often, we take credit for the things that God is doing in our life instead of relaying it back to God Himself. There's a blessing in humility. It's the grace of God, and He'll be with you, and He'll be heavenly minded, and it quenches the wrath of God. And it's important to have in our life. Why? Because it's justifying. And number 2, it's necessary for the work of the ministry. Let's all stand. I know we looked at a lot of verses, and maybe your head's swimming like mine. I don't know. But I pray that the Word of God somehow touched your heart here this morning. Maybe a verse that was read. Maybe a thought that was drawn out. Maybe a whole point. Maybe I need to start on the steps of humility. Number 1, I want to come and I'm going to pray, and I just want to talk to the Lord a little bit. There's things in my life I know ought not to be there. Maybe you want to come and just pray and talk to the Lord and thank Him for salvation. That's the very first step of humility. Remembering where it is that He found us. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ to save you from your sin, can I tell you, you need Jesus. There's no way you can get to heaven without Him. Heaven and hell are both a very real place, but it'll take a humble heart to acknowledge, yes, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, please allow someone to show you from the Scriptures what it means to be saved. If you're here as a Christian, and well, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself? If you're here this morning and you're just struggling in self-righteousness and pride, the Lord doesn't have good things to say about it and He wants you to fix it. Praise the Lord for the opportunity to fix it. Can I encourage you this morning? We're going to have something called an invitation, and we'll allow you to come and pray, talk to the Lord. Maybe you want to talk to Him about something personal in your life. You know He hears you. He's able to hear us all at the same time. It's amazing what He can do. Remember how important it is. Steps to humility. Seeking the Lord. Seek the Lord while He may be found. call ye upon him while he is near. Maybe you feel the tugging of the Holy Spirit of God on your heart this morning. Don't look past that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. How much it has to say about humility. Lord, help us with these things. Lord, I know my spirit is willing, but so oftentimes my flesh is weak and I allow my pride and self-righteousness to get involved. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I pray that you bless our time of invitation now. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning? How long halt ye? No, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself? May the answer be no more minutes, no more time. I humble myself before a holy, mighty, righteous God. And whatever it is he wants to do with me, however he wants to talk with me, I'm open to that leading. Would you come and make a decision for Christ this morning? I tell you this, the key to understanding the holiness of God is getting a handle on your humility. Before he can be exalted, you have to be lowered. Praise the Lord that you came to church this morning. I hope the Lord spoke to your heart. And I know winter is adverse outside, and I understand that. I don't know if the storm just missed us or we didn't get what we were supposed to. And I heard anywhere from 3 to 10 inches, depending on where you live. We had a light dusting by us. Is there bad stuff somewhere else? I don't know. He doesn't care. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And I appreciate that. I know it's tough sometimes, the body doesn't move as well or whatever. If you could just get here, man, I know it's sometimes a struggle, but I pray that the Lord meet with you when you're here. We'll have service again tonight, 6 o'clock. Looking forward to it. Say, we've been studying the book of James. How many verses are we going to cover? Brother, we're going to try and do all of chapter 3. All of chapter 3 tonight. There's so much good stuff in there. We're going to be talking about our mouth and our tongue and our words and how valuable and how important that is. So come back tonight, 6 o'clock, and be in prayer for those that, specifically the Stokes family today. I want to keep praying for them. Pray for Nathan and Karen there in New Jersey. Keep Gustavo, right? Yes, Gustavo in your prayers. That is Karen's dad. And he's lost, and they're praying for an opportunity to witness to him. Keep Mr. McDowell's dad. I had open heart surgery on Friday. Maybe coming home today or tomorrow even, right? Next couple days. And because they're understaffed at the hospital. But pray that he get home and be safe. There's just things to pray about. Pray for others. That'll help you stay humble. As you pour your heart out before God concerning these other needs, and you look around your house and all of a sudden it's like, whoa. And I feel almost guilty having so much. Because with one little twist of thing, not that people are doing wrong. It's just life. I'm thankful for God's tender hand to us and his mercy. So keep praying for one another. Pray for Jen Wilcox. She needs prayer. As do all of us. But come back tonight, 6 o'clock. The youth choir will be singing tonight. Some of the kids have a special tonight. And James chapter 3 tonight. All right? If you can put something in those boxes, that would be a blessing. Try and think of somebody else with that. All right, let's see. Jason Hodges, will you dismiss us in prayer this afternoon? Amen. God bless you. Have a good afternoon.